May the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, the guidance and the blessing of the Holy Spirit be with all of us. I'm very glad today to share with you our scripture text with the history with the Ethiopian church. I take a text from this text as a title for what I'm going to present is what the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip. He said, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" Just for today's text, I want to put my points in four different topics. The first is I just want to focus on what is the book of Acts. And the second is Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and the Queen of Sheba and the Holy Spirit and the proclamation about Jesus. As my brother Pastor Kui said, I am from Ethiopia. Ethiopia is called to be the Christian Iceland for the last 2,000 years because Christianity reached Ethiopia even before the Northern Europe, before the Scandinavians, and before the United States, because as we see from the history, one of the disciples, Philip, was reached out the Ethiopian eunuch. Since then, Ethiopia is a Christian Iceland. Ethiopia is surrounded by the Muslim countries, and there were different invasions tried to convert Ethiopia to Islam, but still strong and growing church. So it's good to hear what is the background for that. As I've said, let us see about a little bit about the book of Acts. I am preaching on the television program to Ethiopia, and by the way, this time I'm talking on the book of Acts, so that I like to talk about in the book of Acts. As we see from the name, it is called the book of Acts, but some people give him to the book of Acts different names. Some say it's not only the book of Acts, but it is also the book of the Holy Spirit, because most of the message is focused on the work of the Holy Spirit. From the book of Acts chapter 1 all the way to the end, it talks about the Holy Spirit. In chapter 1, Jesus promised the disciples before his ascension that he's going to send the Holy Spirit, so they have to wait in Jerusalem. And chapter 2, we see the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Pentecost, and then goes on with the work of the Holy Spirit. And also, as we know, it is the book of Acts is written by Luke. Luke is mostly focused on the work of the Holy Spirit, because in his gospel, he is the one mostly focused on the work of the Holy Spirit. From Luke chapter 1, we see how Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. And also he talks about John, but the baptism was filled by the Holy Spirit while he was in his mother's womb. And Jesus was, when he was tempted by the devil, he was led by the Holy Spirit. And when he started the ministry, he was baptized and filled by the Holy Spirit. So it's talk all about the Holy Spirit. That's why they called the book of the Holy Spirit. And some says it is the book of mission, because it is more of focus on the mission, how the church first started, and with different missionary journeys with Paul and other apostles. It is all about the mission, since they started the mission work, the mission Jesus gave to them for the disciples. And some people also call it is a book of the church history, because they call it, they talk about how the church established and how the church was grown in the Middle East, in small Asia, in Europe, and in Africa, and the rest of the world. So we can call them the book of Acts, or the book of the Holy Spirit, the book of mission, or the book of church history. But all these four, for me, it works, because it goes together. The reason for that is There is no church without a mission. There is no mission without the Holy Spirit. And there is no work of apostles without the power of the Holy Spirit. So all can fit to the book of Acts. But mostly I take the title for it is the book of the Holy Spirit. The reason I take that is it has history with the growth of the Holy, the growth of Ethiopian church. In Ethiopia, there are four main holidays, which is equally celebrated. The Christmas, the Epiphany, Easter, and the Pentecost, all four of them equally celebrated in a calendar. Here, as I know you, mostly we focus on the Christmas and the Easter, but in Ethiopia, these four holidays are very big holidays. As we know, Christmas is about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Epiphany is the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Easter is the resurrection, and the Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. These all four are very important in the history of Ethiopian church, because when we divided the book, the Bible, we can divide it in three main parts. The first part is the creation and the about God created. In the creation story, in the first part of the Bible, we see the work of God the Father, that he was involved in a creation, that God created everything. So we see the God working on what God the Father has worked. And as we know, in creation, God created human beings on the sixth day according to God's image and God's likeness. So we human beings were created in God's image and likeness. And the second part is about the coming of Jesus Christ, what we call the New Testament, which is we see the coming of Jesus, the incarnation. And the third part is the coming of the Holy Spirit. So we need to see those three, God acting in history, when God the Father highly involved in history, and the second part where Jesus is involved in human history, and the third part where the Holy Spirit is involved. So now we are in the era of the Holy Spirit. That's why I just want to focus on the Holy Spirit. Because in Ethiopia, we see these three God's revealing himself to the human beings. Because as we see in creation, God the Father appeared as a creator, and Jesus, he appeared as God the Redeemer, and in Holy Spirit, God revealed as who is sanctified or cleansed us, because these three are very important in our church history, especially in Ethiopian church history. That's why we celebrate a Pentecost like a Christmas. In Old Testament, God the Father promised that he is going to send his son. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God the Father, after the fall, God the Father promised that he is going to send his son. Because as we know, in creation time, God created human being in his likeness and in his image. But because of sin, that God's creation was destroyed. Then in the second phase, God came in human likeness and human image. It is the reverse. First, we created in God's image and God's likeness, but that didn't work, so God came in the reverse, in man's likeness and in man's image. That is what we call incarnation. Then with that, we come to the Holy Spirit, and with that, I want to come to the second part about the Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. In the Bible, we don't see about the detail about who is the Ethiopian eunuch, but when we see in the text, it says he is one of the Ethiopian official who was coming back from Jerusalem, from worshiping in Jerusalem in his way back to home. Some people, historians, also added to that, maybe he is the ministry of the Minister of Treasury, because here also we see about that. Ethiopia and Israel, in history, they have a long historical tie or relations. In 2 Chronicles, in our Old Testament, chapter 9, verses 1 through 9, we see about Ethiopian history connection to the Solomon, King Solomon. There it mentioned about the Queen of Sheba. The Queen of Sheba, in 3,000 years ago, she was the queen of the northern part of Ethiopia, including Sudan and other African countries. So there it is, the history say that she was also mostly popular in ruling Ethiopia, because Sheba is the other name for Ethiopia. Now the Ethiopian alphabet, they call it Saba. It is a different alphabet which is called by Saba, which came from the ancient name of Ethiopia. So maybe this, the Ethiopian eunuch, he is not only went to Israel to worship, but there was political and economical relations with the Israelites, with the Jewish people. Today also in Ethiopia, there are about 1.7 Jewish people who claim that they are a descendant of David, living in Ethiopia, and of course now most of them are traveling back to Jerusalem. So we see this historical relationship, Ethiopia and the Israelite. Ethiopia was led by the emperors in the royal family for about 150 years, and those emperors claims as they are the descendant of David. The recently emperor, which was died about 40 years ago, by his name is called Haile Selassie. He is very popular in American history too. And he is one of the largest emperor who called himself the Lion of Judah. And his flag is the Ethiopian flag on it, with the six star on it, that he is claiming as one of the descendants of David. And today, if you go to Ethiopia, you see the cultural similarities in language, in religious, and in many ways, it is almost similar to Ethiopia. So that's why we see the connection between the Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. But finally, I just want to focus on the work of the Holy Spirit and the proclamation of the gospel. When Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch, he was reading the book of Isaiah, which is normally called the book about the suffering servant. That suffering, he was wondering who the Isaiah or the prophet is talking about. So when Philip encountered him and asked him what he is reading, he couldn't understand what he is reading. That's why he said, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" Because he was reading in that time the coming of the Messiah, which he hasn't seen, but he is about the gospel. So the Holy Spirit brought Philip to this guy. There is a kind of miracle happening there, because Ethiopian eunuch, he was traveling in chariot, which is by force, and he is fast, and it's not easy to Philip to catch him, because he is walking and he's chariot. Because so some say maybe he flew by the power of the Holy Spirit, because after that we see that he disappeared. So there is a kind of a miracle happening there. Anyways, when he met him, he explained to him about the coming, the Messiah, Jesus, the Son of God, the suffering servant, who has suffered, crucified, died, buried, and raised up for our righteousness. This is the core of the gospel that the Ethiopian eunuch brought to Ethiopia. And as I've said, for 2,000 years, still Christianity is keeping his tradition and his history in the Eastern Africa. I was in Ethiopia 2 months ago. There was a fear of the radical Islam movement in the Horn of Africa, but still the strongest and who still keep his religion is Ethiopia. So today, if you go especially to go to the northern part of Ethiopia, you will see churches, those who were built 1,000 years ago with just from one rock, they shaped the church, and how it was a very strong tradition and a very strong Christian nation, even to the world. And in the archaeological researches, they have found a remnants and pieces of the Bibles, especially the Gospel of Matthew. Most of the Gospel of Matthew were found in northern part of Ethiopia, the remnant part of it. So in that way, we see two things. The first thing, the work of the Holy Spirit that guiding to preach the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I said the book of Acts, mostly it is all about the Holy Spirit. Today in Ethiopia, every Sunday, there is a baptism of 9,000 children every Sunday. Church is growing in that fast. The reason for that is the work of the Holy Spirit and the guidance and the blessing of the Holy Spirit. So that's why we learn from this that how the church is growing and multiplying by the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit, who keeps and guide his church, keep and guide our church now and forever. Amen.